Today is the 10th of May 2012. My name's Anne Lee and
I'm Marlene Marshall.
And we're members of Totley History Group, and we've come today to talk to Jennifer Burns about life around Hillfoot Road and Mill Lane from wartime, really. So over to you, Jennifer.
Thank you very much, Anne. The story starts with my parents meeting at RAF Treble Zoo in Cornwall in 1942. My mother was Argentine-born of Scottish descent, and my father was London-born of Russian parents. Mum had been to school in England and loved it here so much that on the outbreak of war she came back to volunteer for the WAF. Dad was a medical officer, also a volunteer in the RAF, and prior to their meeting had served in North Africa. In due course, Mum was posted to RAF Norton for 18 months, during which she only went into Sheffield three times because it was so far to travel.
Yeah, because the trams would be running, wouldn't they, then?
Yes.
The trams.
But it was quite a journey.
It was quite a journey. Yes, it was, yeah.
They started their married life in Newark, in Nottinghamshire, where Dad trained to be a GP. In 1947, he was ready to buy a practice. This was pre-NHS, of course. Yes. The story they told was that one morning over breakfast he was reading the advertisements for practices for sale in the British Medical Journal. He commented, "Oh, there's one here in Sheffield." Mum, busy reading her newspaper and eating toast, commented, "Nice people in Sheffield." And that was that. I was born in February 48 in the Cottage Hospital in Newark, first of their four children. And 3 months later, we moved to St Philip's Road in Shalesmore,
Sheffield,
where Dad took up his new post as a GP. Mm. Although in a rather rough area in those days, the house had been built for a doctor. Pre-NHS, they frequently lived over the shop, and it was most respectable, apparently.
Right.
In August of that year, we moved to 28 Encliff Crescent in Sheffield. Apparently, according to a local newspaper article that I haven't yet traced, this had been bought by my parents for £10,500 and was the most expensive house sold in Sheffield since the Second World War, leading to speculation that they were millionaires. This was a very large 1830s semi, five bedrooms, two bathrooms, servants' bells, all that stuff, with garden, vegetable garden, outhouses, etc. Freezing cold, very shabby. They could never afford to decorate much at a time, and we adored it.
Yeah.
I left Sheffield in 67 to work in London, and in 68 the family moved to Townhead Road in Dore. Mm-hmm. Nobody liked living in a modern house, even if it did have central heating. Mm-hmm. And my mother's dream, a huge greenhouse which was far too expensive to heat, I believe it was 40 feet long.
Oh!
The house was heated by ducted air, and we all developed sore eyes from the dust in the system. Mm-hmm. That we soon changed out to radiators. In 72, I left England to work in New York, where I stayed for 3 years, and then I moved to South America, where I travelled in Argentina, Uruguay and Chile for a year, while being based with family in Buenos Aires.
Mm.
My adventure. The family, now just the parents, moved to Ashcroft, Hillfoot Road in Totley. They loved it there, not least the view of Blackamoor and the proximity of the Crown.
Mm.
Their neighbour at Avalon was our Evelyn, well known in Totley. A somewhat eccentric lady. Always immaculately dressed, she could frequently be seen dragging huge branches home where she had an enormous stack of firewood, leaning against the hedge her property shared with my parents' garden. Parents lived in fear of both properties burning down. One day Evelyn woke up to find a man in her bedroom. On another occasion she got home to find an axe embedded in her back door. In due course her house suffered subsidence. Huge cracks split the wall. Quite astonishing. Mm.
Do you think the children around at that time used to torment her then? This is why she got this axe in the door and things.
I don't know.
No.
We never heard anything about that.
Discovered. Yeah. No.
The house was finally condemned and was demolished, but I believe I have some photographs that I will get out.
Right. Yes.
The current modern house was built on the site, much to the relief of the neighbours. I believe the original Avalon, Evelyn's, had had a grocer's shop in one of the front rooms, and this was gone by the 1970s.
Right. Apparently, I understood it could have been a butcher's shop.
Oh, but may well have been, yes.
Yeah.
Well have been. I returned to England in 78, not intending to settle in Sheffield. However, I was offered a job with the steel firm Aurora and stayed with them for 5 years. 78, I bought 4 Mill Lane. derelict and tiny, an end terrace cottage, two up and two down, with one of the ups cut in half to make a tiny bedroom and an equally tiny bathroom. Dad nearly had a fit when he saw it. He never really came round and complained continually about the cold. With some reason, I didn't have proper heating for 15 years, by which time the poor man was dead. But Mum saw the possibilities and worked like a Trojan with me to make it habitable. Dad did, however, lend me the deposit and even did the bidding at the auction, as I'd never been to one. Later I discovered he'd only been to one himself when he bought Enkers Crescent, accompanied by my Argentine grandfather, who had never been to one either. He thought it was very jolly. The purchase price of $10,500 was a fortune, as I only earned $3,500 a year, the least you could be earning to get a mortgage. Number four had been uninhabited for 5 years by the time I bought it. During this time, the owner, Mrs. Thorpe, had been in the Blenheim, a very expensive nursing home on Ecclesall Road.
Yeah.
Now gone. She had died when 102. No one had been in the house in that time, as she would not let her only relative, a niece who apparently lived at number one Mill Lane, into the house because she wasn't allowed in to have a key because she was a flighty young thing.
Oh dear.
She was 68.
Oh, right.
Mum at the time was 60 and I'm currently 64. And I would love to be thought a flighty young thing. According to Annette Blake, the wife of William Blake, the late solicitor, who was a member of the Conservative Party, before every general election, they were expected to call on Mrs. Thorpe to outline the Conservatives' election policy. Mrs. Thorpe apparently had a wonderful collection of Staffordshire porcelain, reported by Mrs. Blake. This was not in evidence by the time I saw the place. The house had no damp course or insulation. The windows were falling out and there was a hole in the roof. The stair carpet, however, was startlingly new, though seriously not to my taste. All the other floor coverings had been removed, apart from in the kitchen. My mother and I removed 17 layers of material from this floor. Carpet, lino, newspaper, more carpet, lino, newspaper, and just above the flags, what I can only describe as muck that we scraped up with spoons. The smell haunts me. I practically lived at the dumpit site. And the workmen there were never helpful.
No.
In the days when you had to lift everything up into the skirt.
Yeah, yeah.
Once we'd cleared the kitchen floor, the skirting board sat 2 inches above the flags. I was sure I could hear things in the black space and see their eyes watching me. And the draught. I used to sit with my feet on another chair.
Yeah.
At this time, the council was offering grants of up to £1,700. To assist homeowners to bring their properties up to date and install damp courses and insulation. I remember the environmental health officer coming round to inspect the house prior to approving the grant. I pointed out there was a large crack in the cellar wall. He assured me that it had probably been there for 100 years, and not to worry, cellars rarely fell down. On hearing that the previous occupant had lived to 102, he thought that the rising damp was unlikely to have killed her, and that my house would probably outlive me by a good few years, and he gave me my grant. The builders then moved in for a year, during which time I slept at Ashcroft on Hillfoot Road and spent every spare minute working number four, filling cracks, holes, cleaning, all the things you do with a derelict property. The first night I spent on my own here was really strange. Where was the sound of running water coming from? I checked every tap, the loo, the tanks, several times, before it occurred to me that it was the river. I'd never been here when it was quiet. My neighbours were Billy and Ada Mather, who were in their 80s. He had been a milkman and they had lived there since the 20s, first as tenants and then as owners. They'd paid about £300 for the house, had a daughter, Pam, and 5 grandchildren, a boy and 4 girls, who lived in Totley. The day we bought the house, my parents went next door to introduce themselves and to apologise for any inconvenience the builders would doubtless be making. The mothers were very pleased that their new neighbour had, as I was later told, such a polite family, and we always had a very good relationship. Sadly, they've now both gone, though Mr. Mather's funeral was one of the loveliest I've ever been to. And their grandson now lives there. My cottage was, we believe, built in 1830, coincidentally the same date as Enkers Crescent. Although the barrel vaulted cellars indicate that there was a much earlier building on the site, probably early 18th century. The flagstones in the yard seem to confirm this. Where 28 had beautiful ceiling roses and moulding, 2 listed fireplaces, believed to be Adam, and an elegant staircase, Four Mill Lane has no such fripperies. Small windows, no cornices, tiny box grate and horsehair and lime plaster. The other end of the social scale.
Yeah, exactly.
At the time of the auction, it was not known if the land came with it. Some days after the sale, I was advised that I also owned the garden immediately outside the house. When I moved in, this contained 10 fruit trees, 8 of them dead. The remaining two, both Bramleys, were prodigious producers. The autumn after I moved in, I caught a little gang of children scrumping, led by a red-headed lass of about 9. When I asked what they were doing, it was obvious really, and said that if their mother wanted fruit for a pie, she should send me a note saying, please. The little girl replied, the batty old woman what lives here says we can. The locals had already told me that Mrs. Thorpe had long waged war with the local kids and had been known to lob half bricks at them. When asked why she showed through half bricks, she replied that she couldn't manage whole ones. Last autumn, while picking apples from my new trees, it occurred to me that I was the batty old woman what lives here now. I laughed all afternoon. And I haven't actually caught any kids scrumping, but why not?
Yeah.
The garden was totally overgrown when I bought the property. Mr. Mather told me she, Mrs. Thorpe, didn't do much heavy digging after she were 85. Lazy old thing. By overgrown, I mean you couldn't actually walk into it. The cow parsley and brambles were head high and had to be sawn down. I rang the botanical gardens to ask how to deal with it. After explaining the situation, I heard howls of laughter from the other end of the phone. Cow parsley were dirty words there. The advice was to slash and burn until it goes away. We had great fun carrying this out. But it seemed to regrow between onslaughts. Once the area was clear, a friend went over it with his metal detector. But the only things we found were dozens of beer bottle tops. Mrs. Thorpe's? No one ever mentioned Mr. Thorpe. That only occurred to me the other day, actually. According to Mr. Mather, numbers 3 and 4 had been built by Thompson the Butchers in 1830, with numbers 1 and 2 being built 50 years later in 1880. These were for their cattlemen, because the Thompsons, as I say, were butchers.
Big
local landowners.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mrs. Thorpe was said to be the youngest of 13 children brought up in this cottage. Two up, two down, no running water.
Yeah.
She apparently had only one living relative, the niece who lived at number one, but who died herself before Mrs. Thorpe. I don't know if there was a family relationship with Mr. Cowley, the solicitor, who was the vendor. I think he was probably just the executor.
Yes, yeah.
I haven't been able to trace Mrs. Thorpe's maiden name, so I don't know
what history is that, no. Yeah.
And I don't know the niece's name either, sadly. My deeds specifically detail certain operations that I may not carry out, even today. The trade or business of a soap boiler, sugar baker, distiller, dyer, glassmaker, or melting tallow chandler, and that the premises shall not without consent be used for the making of gas tempering of saws, or as a steel or other furnace, cast iron or other foundry, steam or other engine house, or as a workshop or manufactory of any kind. Just the sort of things that a gently raised young woman would want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I was unaware of these restrictions. When I mentioned to Mr. Mather that I intended to build a workshop in the cellar for the repairing and restoration of the old furniture I was buying, I hadn't actually given any thought as to how I'd get it into the cellar. He ran straight to his solicitor, who rang my solicitor, who rang me, why do you need a workshop? Have you any idea how concerned your neighbour is? Have you any idea how expensive it can be to change deeds? Why can't you have a Black and Decker workmate like everybody else? So that's what I did.
Yeah.
Most of the work was actually carried out in the kitchen. Couldn't do much damage to a flag floor.
No.
Whoever did build the cottages used incredibly hard bricks. They were said to be made locally. Perhaps the brickworks are
Yes, possibly.
And a number of builders have broken drill bits before listening to me and using bits with carbon, tungsten carbine tips. Hanging a picture is a nightmare.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never been able to afford to have all the wards stripped and replastered, so most of them are the original horsehair and lime with tetrion filling the holes. I really should have bought shares. The houses are red brick and were, I believe, pebble dashed in the 1920s. The Mathers told me they went away on a week's holiday to Lowestoft and came back to find they'd been done. As they were tenants, not owners, they had no say in the matter anyway. The finish has not been replaced since then. Little bits round the window frame. There is a mark on the cellar wall that for some time I thought indicated that Mrs. Thorpe had maintained a very generous coal heap. Mr. Mather told me that in fact it was where the water had reached in the floods of 1921.
Oh.
I believed then that the cellar hadn't flooded since 1921. No, just the water level hadn't got that far.
Mm.
Halfway up the cellar steps, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
There was also a rumour that the cellar had been used as the local lock-up at one time. Mm. In the dark.
Oh.
Very unpleasant. There is a stone bench across one side that had partitions in it.
Yeah.
That had rotted away.
Yeah.
When clearing the cellar, back at the beginning, Mum discovered a meat safe with things in it, including 8 pounds of black market butter, the war having ended 33 years before. We tried using them as firelighters for bonfires in the garden, but the fat content had evaporated.
Mm.
Things in dishes were also found at the back of the huge Yorkshire range in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, those white enamel dishes with blue edges?
Yes, yeah.
With things. When this was removed, by the builders, the outside wall started to belly out and had to be supported by a steel beam.
Yeah.
To my great annoyance, as it means I can't hang cupboards on that wall. Mm. Building regs don't permit drilling into a supporting beam.
No, of course.
Very annoying.
Yeah.
The cottage has no gas and had no electricity until 1948. Oil lamps and candles only, and no bathroom or loo until 1968.
Wow.
The tin bath, not a very big one, is still in my cellar. Also, there is a vast mangle. I have no idea how they managed to get it down there.
Mm.
It took four of us to walk it into a corner.
Yeah.
The original fuse board, i.e. the 1948 one, was not replaced until the 1990s when I had storage heaters fitted. Mm. Actually, my electrician refused to touch it unless I promised him I could put in a new one.
Yeah.
The house was rewired completely in 78 after an inspector from the Yorkshire Electricity Board saw sparks coming out of a socket in the kitchen and condemned the system and turned it off at the main up the road. It had the old two-pin plugs and fabric-covered wires. If Mrs. Thorpe wanted another socket, she just stripped two cables, joined the copper wires, and then wound the loose copper ends around the pins of a new plug.
Health and safety, you got money today.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
He did. I was turned off up in Totley.
Yeah, yeah.
The builders refused to touch anything, although when one of them leant against the kitchen window, it fell out on his head. His boss serves a silly sod, right? Mrs. Thorpe never got to use the bathroom. By the time it was installed, she was 92 and unable to manage the stairs.
Mm, yes.
She had a bed in the sitting room and used a po. Before the installation of indoor plumbing, each cottage had a loo down the bottom of the garden. There's a right of way for the cottagers to use the path down the left-hand side of my garden. I suspect it was rarely used at night. It's quite a walk.
Yeah.
The unused bathroom, with a huge cast-iron bath, was papered with foot-high green Chinese fishermen. This, of course, looked quite new when I moved in, hadn't been touched.
Mm-hmm.
I washed it down and thought it was fine. After two baths and two nights of nightmares, I painted it white.
Mm.
But gradually those fishermen kept coming back. Every time I painted it, they came back again.
Spooky. <Yeah. laughs>
There is a roof space, but when I bought the cottage, there was access only through a very small hole. John Turner had great trouble getting his shoulders through it.
Mm.
Later I had a metal retractable loft ladder installed and had the space walled and floored and use it for storage.
Yes.
Many people were in the village were interested in knowing who had come to live in Mrs. Thorpe's cottage, particularly as it had been empty for so long and looked derelict. Indeed, was derelict.
Mm.
And many of them used the excuse of exercising their dogs down the public footpath to the woods. One such lady was Mrs. Green, with her very elderly dog, Gailey.
Yes,
you remember Gailey?
And I remember Mrs. Green.
One day
well.
She stopped and asked if I had a young man who visited. I said no. She advised me not to have one living in, but one with visiting rights was fine. One just didn't want them underfoot all the time. She'd been happily married and she knew. I asked if she had a visiting gentleman. Oh, yes, and particularly useful for DIY and going on holiday with. She was 88.
She was a lovely lady.
A few months later, after she spoke to me, she was mugged in the woods.
Well.
Apparently she knew the lout, hit him with her walking stick until he fell down, continued to hit him until he cried, then walked into the village to tell everyone about it.
Oh, wow. Very good. Very nice.
Yeah. Oh, that's very interesting, Jennifer. Yes. Yeah,
so that brings us almost up to date.
Yes.
One thing, can I ask, the outdoor toilets, are there any signs of them still there?
Oh, yes, yes, the buildings are still there.
Oh,
we use them as some storage space.
Right.
I put the sacks of leaves to the autumn leaves in there, so it looks a bit of a mess, but it takes up much less space doing it that way. I think number three still has a loo in theirs. Mine had water in it. I had a tap fitted, but the water cut off to the loo. But when the workmen dug us out because of the lead in the soil a few years ago, they managed to disconnect the water and couldn't find it again.
Right.
Yeah. Which was annoying. Interestingly, when they were digging up my garden, where they'd actually used it to park the trucks because it was the one biggest bit of land where the Janice is next door, biggest space they'd got, they came to me one day and said, "There's an hole in your garden, Mrs. You've got a well." I said, "No, I haven't got a well." I didn't tell them I had a well in the kitchen, in the cellar.
Yeah.
So I went down. They said, "Oh, you mustn't come near it. It might collapse." They'd been running 32-ton trucks over that garden. So I was slightly put out.
Yeah.
But apparently it was barrel vaulted, the most beautiful Victorian brickwork.
Oh, right.
And it was the runoff for the mill pond. And it ran down to the river. And in fact, there's another outlet from the dam that ran under one of the houses on Milldale Road, and that was so big you could drive a mini through it.
Yeah.
Was it the one that was actually in the Star? Because there was some.
That was the one on Milldale. That was the bigger one. Because that ran under a house.
Yes.
And nobody knew it was there.
Because there were photos taken.
Yes. And they had to bring in mining engineers to decide what they were going to do with it, and that the mine was just capped again. It wasn't causing any problem. This was under a building. The one on Milldale, and they pumped it full of the foam that you put round windows these days. Yes. It sets hard, and you can drill into they pump it. They pumped it with that. But well, at the same time, when they were digging things out, they insisted on digging out the little garden that was in my yard.
Mm.
When I came, you couldn't get into it again. You couldn't see what was there. When we cleared it out, we discovered it was really rather quaint. It had raised beds of dry stone walling with spring flowers, and in the spring it did look lovely. Yeah. The rest of the year it looked a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
They said, "No, it's all got to come out, but we'll rebuild the beds." As if that was going to have lead in it. When they took it out, they discovered 18th century flagstones underneath.
Oh. Yeah.
And I think the gardeners, the first team that came up, what we call the Geordie boys, were so thrilled. They stayed behind to see. And then they said no. And they went down to the cellar. And they said, "No, it matches." And that's when we realised that there'd been an older property here.
Yeah.
Apart from the fact that they weren't building barrel vaulting in the 19th century.
No, of course.
At any part of it.
No.
So have you managed to locate any previous back history?
Yes, I've got quite a bit here. And I've got some things that I think will interest you. I haven't got a complete history. I've got documents or reference to documents going back to 1882.
Right,
very good.
But I've also got, and there some of them are conveyances, but one here that I think you'll be particularly interested in. It's the estate of Ebenezer Hall, Esquire, selling to Colin Thompson in 1919.
Yeah, that's the chap that owned Abbeydale Hall, isn't it? Yeah.
Damfield with five cottages. Now, Damfield is where Milldale Road is.
Oh, yeah.
And I have the map.
Right.
That's the map.
Right, Jennifer is showing us the map, which obviously has been photocopied, and very interesting. So hopefully we'll be able to get a copy of this.
I will do copies of all these up at the
library. Thank you. That would be lovely.
Yeah. Do you remember anything much about Mill House? Is it Mill House they call it? Mill Cottage?
Mill Cottage. It used to be called Rose Cottage.
Ah, right.
It was at one time a scythe factory.
Mm.
And then it was the mill owners, or the mill managers factory.
Yeah, yeah.
It's some years since I've been inside. The gentleman who lived there was a little eccentric, but the people who bought it from his estate did a great deal of work.
Yeah.
And in actual fact, when the gardens were dug up, they benefited, because the end of this garden here, the land here, the current owners didn't even realise was theirs.
Right.
So they ended up with a nice little orchard.
It's beautiful.
Yes, and they have built on a tea bar, if you know what I mean. It's the store for the tea. Mm. Because it's three bedroom, but you have to go through the second bedroom to get to the third one, which makes it a bit tricky.
It does, yes. Yeah.
And they've made a very nice job of it.
Yes.
So there is that. And I have another one that I've marked. Let me put these away. So we have a conveyance of 1882 that is referred to. I haven't got a copy. Mm. But I'm sure the archives, the city archives, will have copies because they're legal documents.
Yes.
And it's interesting. This is between John William Ogle, first part, William Tysack and Joshua Tysack, second part, William Tysack, third part, Joshua Tysack, fourth part, Thomas Turner, Frederick Sibrey and Sarah Ann Sibrey, fifth part, Anne Turner, sixth part, Thomas Turner, seventh part, and Ebenezer Hall, eighth part.
Yes, that's Tysacks and Turners, isn't it?
Yes.
Which ties in with an interesting little article that I've been given about Tysacks and Ebenezer Hall owning the mill.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll tie in the dates. Yeah. Then there was a surveillance done in 1935. Again, I haven't got that, between Colin Arthur Thompson and the Lord Mayor Alderman. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that was about.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1948, there was a conveyance between Colin Arnold Thompson and Frank Wilfred Thompson. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not sure of the relationship. It may be nephew or son.
Yes.
Then there was another conveyance in 1950, Mrs. G. E. Thompson and Mr. B. D. Thompson to Mr. and Mrs. F. A. Graves. That was Gertrude Graves. Mm. Greaves.
Yeah.
And that was the land they owned 3 and 4. And in 1962, Gertrude Greaves, who was by then a widow, sold it to the Mathers. Sold number 3 to the Mathers.
Yeah.
In 1966, Gertrude Greaves made a deed of gift to Sarah Elizabeth Thorpe, which makes me think that she is family.
Family, yeah.
And she may well be a Greaves.
She sounds like some relative.
And this would tie in with her being the youngest of the family because she's lived here for a long time.
Yeah.
Possibly not this cottage, but they owned the cottages, obviously. Because that was the thing, they owned all the cottages, the Greaves owned all the cottages at one time.
Yes.
But of course, I've only got two. It depends how they ever sold them on. And then I bought it in 1978.
Yes.
So there was an article, a very interesting article, in Door to Door in autumn 2002 regarding the mills, but unfortunately there is no map. And of course there will be one.
Yes, but they didn't put one in the
But there are the references here, so and some of the names tie in. This is when I discovered, because I was looking for some of the names, Mountford, who was a scythe scalper, was the tenant from 1840 to 1856.
Mm.
Well, that was a scythe mill down there.
Right.
So presumably that's where a scythe scalper worked.
Mm. I wonder that's what scalping was.
Yes, that's when I discovered that that you couldn't access the census unless you paid.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but then, of course, there were Bagshaws and Clarks and all sorts of people. But at the bottom here, there's also, it's tied in with Aberdale Works, because Ebenezer Hall owned
what
we call Aberdale Hamlet.
Yeah.
But people tend to forget that there were works all along this stretch of the river.
Yes.
Anywhere there was moving water, you had little works, because there was water power.
Mm.
So we've got a lot more work to do on it.
Yeah.
Quite a lot.
But you pushed me into getting started.
Good. That's what we like to hear.
Yes. So it's all very interesting.
So I will let you have copies of the documents that I've got.
Thank you. Mm. That would be good.
Yeah, there's no reason why you can't have those. Yeah.
And actually, one of the, you know, Brian Edwards helped us to start the history group.
Yes.
And it was one of his wishes that the history group looked into the trades that went on around Totley, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, so he'd be really pleased if he could find a.
Well, we know that the mill milled lead at one stage because of the problem. Interestingly, diverting for a moment, when they were digging out the gardens, the back gardens of Milldale Road, when they got down about 3 or 4 feet, they had this huge slick of yellow clay, which was the lining of the dam. When they filled it in, they didn't take it away, which explains why some of their gardens are very damp.
Very damp,
because Totley is full of clay.
Oh, it is.
Just built on clay.
Now, the soil they brought in when they dug us out because of the we didn't have clay.
Mm.
Our soil was wonderful.
Right.
And we had all grown fruit and veg forever.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a semi, still a semi-rural community in many ways.
Yeah.
The soil we got in is awful.
Oh. Yeah.
It apparently came from Rotherham. Because I said, well, this is ghastly. Why, where did this rubbish come from?
What year is that, Jennifer? What
this
year
was 5 years ago.
5 years ago. It might have been from some where some firm had closed down.
Well, no, that
like
was the whole point. Ours was toxic soil.
Right.
Supposedly. So it wasn't at all, of course. It was a whole... It was a typical knee-jerk reaction.
Oh, yeah.
And very badly managed at that.
Yeah.
So I said, well, why have we got this ghastly soil? And they came, well, it came from Rotherham. I said, well, presumably Rotherham didn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
But where ours went, I've no idea.
No.
But it was no more toxic than fly.
No, absolutely ridiculous. But
huge amount of money in
the
He's got you started up again.
So I've got everything properly packaged now.
Yes.
Now, some of the photocopies are very poor. But I don't know if the originals they've copied from are poor, because they may well have been early typed copies. What did we use? Carbon paper.
Yes.
Yeah.
And solicitors have never been ones for wasting money. So if they thought it was a copy that was going in a file forever, they wouldn't have treated the typist to a new sheet of it.
No. That's one thing we've got advantage now, isn't
thank
it?
God.
Yeah.
Oh, do you remember the Gestetners and all that? And the Banders?
Yes. And the Tippex as well, and all that stuff.
Yes.
A nightmare. Yeah.
And some people still think that if you use spell check, you'll get it all right.
Yeah.
But there we go. So I don't know if you'd like to have a look at the cellar.
I would love to have a look at the cellar. And if you don't mind, I would like to take some photos.
Yes, of course you may.
Thank you.
Yes, I didn't tidy it.
That's okay. That's fine. That's fine, as it is.
No, it has the steep stone steps.
That's fine. That's okay.
So so do be careful going down. But there is a banister.
Right. Lovely.
Okay.
Okay, so I'd just like to say thank you to Jennifer, and we'll get that, you know, we'll give you a copy of the recording.
That would be lovely. Yes. Thank you very much indeed.
Okay.
Thank you.
Loved it.